God. Amen. I count it a great privilege to be a warrior for Jesus. Don't you? Amen. My, isn't it great to be in the presence of the Lord today? And it's so good to have each and every one of you to come and worship the Lord with us in Monroe. And it's just a great privilege today. And we just want to open our hearts today to the presence of the Lord and just get out of the way and just let God speak to us today. And we just count it a great privilege. I don't think our speaker today needs any special introduction because everyone loves him and knows him, that he is the great man of God that we all respect him to be. And I appreciate him taking the time to come and to be here in Section 3 with us today. And when picking him up at the airport, and I know he's tired and worn out, but praise God, he's come to help us. Amen. Preach to us. And without anything else, Brother Wayne Huntley, God bless you. We love you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God. Boy, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost has been in the preliminary aspects of this service today. I feel not only the presence of the Lord, but there is a scripture that says, in essence of the, during the life of Christ, it said the presence of the Lord was there to heal. And there is a diversity of healing. There is a variety of healings. A very multifaceted work of the Spirit that can be done. We serve a mighty God. A God with whom all things are possible. Praise God! Not only can He do it, but He wants to do it. He wants us to simply believe Him, reach out to Him, claim His promises, His power, and then transfer that into our daily routine of evangelism and touch our world. Take His power and use it for evangelism. I believe God is ready to invest unprecedented power in those individuals who will pledge that power, not to the profit of self, but to the expansion of God's good kingdom. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, if you would think that we were at the National Singing Convention here today. We have heard some of the best gospel music you'd ever want to hear anywhere. And I have been ministered to by this music and singing. It's blessed my heart. The stages of the world do not contain such powerful, anointed singing. We Pentecostals are so privileged. And not only is it talent, but it's anointed of the Holy Ghost. And these men of God that grace this platform tonight, this afternoon, I give honor to them, all of our pastors. North Carolina is, without a doubt, one of the greatest places on the planet to live. I thank God for the privilege of living in North Carolina. I do it daily because it's only by His mercy that I'm allowed to stay. At any time, God could say, go to Kalamazoo. Your time is up. That would be the judgments of God, I fear. But nevertheless, He is a God of judgment. And so I walk tenderly before Him. And don't want to ever take this for granted. When Brother Spate mentioned that I flew in here today, I don't want anybody to think I flew from Raleigh to Charlotte. I don't want you to think I flew over here to preach this rally. I came from Indiana to be here today. And that's the only reason I say that. I don't want anybody to think that. My Lord, what has He come to? It's too far to drive from Raleigh to Monroe? No. I came a little further than I could drive to get here today, and so I flew into Charlotte and came over here. I appreciate Brother Jay Porter from our church being here to drive me home tonight after service. But I wanted to be here. I wanted to be here. I feel in the will of God to be here. I love North Carolina. I love our ministry that stand on this platform. I want the revival that God has promised to all of us to be ours. I'm a firm believer that anything that God has invested in me, He has not invested it so that I might profit, but so that I could share it with others and somebody else could have revival and be blessed of God. And I appreciate our ministry, and I appreciate what God is doing in our great state. I want to say how much I appreciate your presbyter, Brother David Elms, Sister Elms, dear people of God that we love so very much and admire, respect, and appreciate. I don't think there's an office in the United Pentecostal Church Brother Elms couldn't fill adequately and sufficiently. He is a true leader of men, and I say that today in due respect. I mean that. He is a leader of men and a man among men and a great friend of mine. I would want to come and preach here today by invitation of Pastor Spate if it was just to his local church. I love Brother Spate, and I appreciate what God has done in his ministry, and I appreciate our friendship that goes back a long, long time, and I have wanted to come and preach here, and I'm excited about being here with you. I thank God for this beautiful, beautiful building. It is so very lovely in here. Anybody could come to church here and not be ashamed. This church is beautiful. And I appreciate the witness that it is for the name of the Lord. Everything is just so immaculate and so nice. I thank God for what He has done here and is going to do. I could take the rest of the day addressing the individual brethren that are here and how much I appreciate them. But I know that we need to preach so you can get home. Tomorrow's a great day in the kingdom of the Lord. And we're going to attack the enemy tomorrow. I appreciated that cultural song that we heard a while ago. Brother Elms was saying how fitting that they should sing it because it comes from the Cherokee Mountains of North Carolina. And it's only fitting that they should sing that song since they're in that area of the state. And it's only fitting, it's biblical. The Bible said we're founded, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the Jesus. We're all braves under Chief Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm so glad to be able to be in church with Sister Campbell. I'm so glad that God has touched her and helped her. And she's able to be here today. We praise the Lord for His mercy. Hallelujah! Great to be in the family of God. To know that somebody does love and somebody does care. Amen. Turning your Bibles, Genesis chapter 15. I'd also like to say it's good to be in church with my little brother. That's a rare privilege. We hardly ever have opportunity to be in church together, and I'm so glad he was able to be here today and to worship the Lord with us. I'd have been disappointed if he couldn't have come. I'm so glad he's here. Genesis chapter 15, and I'll preach to you what I felt of the Spirit the time that Brother Spade called me and invited me to come and share this service with you. I feel that the Lord has spoken to my heart and given me some words to give to you today. Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 12. Genesis chapter 15 and 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. Would everybody say they will come out? And when they come out, they're going to come out with great substance. Verse number 15, And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in good old age. We were talking about old age prior to the service starting this afternoon. Sometimes old age becomes bad for some folks. They get to where they can't get around, they can't remember, they don't know anybody. I think that's bad old age. God promised Abram, you're going to go to your grave in good. Good old age. Now, if the Lord allows me to live a long time, I hope I'll be buried in a good old age. My message tonight comes, this afternoon, comes from, I'm not used to preaching at 4 o'clock. From verse number 16 of Genesis chapter 15. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I want to preach to you today on the subject, the fourth generation. The generation of the coming back. The generation of the coming back. In the fourth generation, they shall come back again. Would you lift your hands and ask the Lord to give you a comeback? In this very service today, I want a spiritual comeback in my life. Hallelujah! Praise God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Lord bless you and you may be seated. Abram had a rare experience with God. One in which the omnipotent, omniscient God revealed the future to Abram. David prayed a prayer one time and asked God to let him know the number of his days. Only a few have been privileged by God to look through the telescope of prophecy and know exactly what their future will be. Simon Peter was so privileged when the Lord told him, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go and did what you wanted to do, but when you get old, another shall bind thee. And he told him a little bit about his future. Abram was the father of the faithful, the friend of God, the patriarch of the Old Testament times. And God so privileged him that he wanted him to know that after you're gone, everything's going to be all right with your children. You don't have to go to your grave, Abram, worried about what's going to happen to the promised seed of the Messiah. What's going to happen to the chosen people of the Lord? And so God began to at first paint a very bleak, dark, desperate picture of despair when he told him that your children are going to go into a strange land that is not theirs. And they're going to be there in servitude. And it's going to last for 400 years. But he said, there's going to come a day that I'm going to judge those people that have oppressed your seed. And I will bring judgment on them, and they will come back. There's going to be a time of darkness. There's going to be a time when it's not going to be just like you want it. There is a bleak future for a while. But I'm promising you, they will come back. There will be a time that the captors will be crushed. The bondage will be broken. And the servitude will surrender to glorious liberty. And I will bring them back to this place that I have promised you. I want to preach tonight, this afternoon, to you that the darkness and the downsetting and the devastation and the perhaps apparent defeat that seems to hold you in a land that is not yours is only a transient, fleeting moment in the face of Almighty God.
For God said there's going to come a time that I'm going to pronounce judgment. And I'm going to bring you back where I promised I'd take you. I'm going to deliver you out of that captivity. Woo! Hallelujah! It doesn't matter how pessimistic, how negative the horizon looks today. You're not a homesteader. You're not a dweller. You're not a citizen. That's not your land. Your land is the promised land of revival. The promised land of power. God said you're going to come back. Woo! I'm ready for a comeback. It's the time of a comeback. I felt the Holy Ghost speak to me to come to Monroe and tell you that it's time for you to refuse to allow your adversary to pin you to the canvas of complacency, status quo, self-explanation, and justification as to why you're not where you used to be, as to why things are not like they used to be. While some are striving to break records, there are a lot of folks just trying to get back to where they used to be. But it's time for you to get up off of the mat. It's time for you to get up before the count of 10 comes. I can hear the devil counting you out. 1, 2, 3. But heaven is hollering, get up! Get up! The angels are hollering, get up! And I've come to scream in your ears, don't lay there! Get up! And shout, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise! It's time for a comeback. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, it's time for a comeback. If the devil thought I'm going to stay down, he's got another fate coming. We may have had 100 one time and a long way from it now, but we're coming back. We may have had our church full, but now it's empty. But we're coming back. We may be on a low ebb, but we're coming back. It's time for a comeback. Hey, I want to follow the Holy Ghost today. Let me make this statement. You may be seated. It's not time to quit and move. God's not through with you. When God gets ready for you to leave, you're not going to leave in defeat. He said, when I bring you out, I'll bring you out with great substance. There is, and I'm so glad, there is such a thing as a comeback with God. Hallelujah. We may be down, but we're not out. Because we're serving a comeback God. In the newspapers this last Christmas and New Year's time, I read a very applicable article about a man named Frank Reich. I had never heard of him until I caught this article in the newspaper. And a lot of you don't know who he is to this good day. But Frank Reich is a second string quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, I believe. Don't be afraid to tell me if you know the answer. He's not their starting quarterback. But in the football finale last year, his team, the Buffalo Bills, were behind 31-0 at halftime. And he set a National Football League record for the largest deficit ever to be overcome and to have victory. He led his team to a 33-31 victory. when most folks would have been saying it's too late. The margin's too great. We're overwhelmed. We're humiliated. We're intimidated. We're crushed to the point we cannot regain. But there's something about this man, and I found out later, he also set the collegiate record for the largest deficit to come back from. This man has something in him that says it's never too late to win. Never too late to win. There's a way somehow we can come out on top. There's some way we can do it. Woo! Hallelujah! My Lord! He's not the kind to walk off the field and say, well, maybe next game. Are we going to give him this one? Man, he'll give him nothing. As long as the game's not over, he still believes we're going to win. Come on, church. It's time for a comeback. I don't care where the devil's got you pinned up tonight. You can still come back. Let me show you quickly the attitude of our God. What a mighty God we serve. He never gives up. He never says it's too late. In 2 Samuel chapter 14 and 14, I read in your hearing, for we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground. Everybody say, like water poured out. You ever tried to pick up water you poured out? How futile. How totally impossible. To regather spilt water. But he said, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. In other words, God has a way to regather, to regain, to restore, to reclaim, to refresh, to renew. Though it may seem totally impossible. Hey, mother. Hey, daddy. Hey, saint of God. You may think that child of yours is too sinful, too wicked, too worldly, too sensual, too carnal. But God is a God who makes a way of return, a way to bring back. It's never too late. Don't give up. And then I read in Job chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 7, for there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Listen to this. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. All it needs is the ability to pick up the odor and the fragrance of water. Could I tell somebody here that you may feel like you've been cut down? The root of your spiritual experience has waxed old. The stock has died in the ground. But the Bible said there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. There's a river flowing through this building today, and the dead can live again. Woo! And the depressed can dance again. And the down can get up again. And the out can get in again. And the victim can become the victor. It's time for a comeback. It's time for a comeback. The prodigal son had a comeback. He jumped the fence out of the hog pen and headed toward the father's house. And let me show you something about our dad, about our spiritual father. The Bible said, and while he was yet a great way off. He had a long way to go, but he looked up that old dusty road toward the house, and he saw a familiar gray-headed father, stoop-shouldered father, coming down that path. And the Bible said, before he ever got home, the father fell. Before he ever got home, the father fell on him. Hey, sinner. Hey, backslider. If you'll just get up and start toward the Father's house before you get home, he'll fall on you. He'll fall on you. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can't make it home without him. You can't get home by yourself. Simon Peter wept in the dark night of denial as the cock told the remainder of the story of prophetical words. He bowed his head and wept in the night of denial. But in the morning sun, he climbed the steps to the upper room. And the power of God made him the oracle that would declare the glorious gospel of Acts 2:38. And Simon Peter had a comeback. In Acts chapter 15, the Bible tells of John Mark vacillating at Pamphylia. Paul dismissed him. Go home, boy. We don't need any double-minded men on our missionary trip. You're a loser. You're a chicken. You're undetermined. You're undedicated. And he sent him back home. But in 2 Timothy 4:11, he wrote and said, bring Mark with you, for he is profitable. Mark had a comeback. He was at one time a liability, but he became an asset. At one time, he was part of the problem, but he became part of the answer. Woo! God wants to move you from one side of the ledger to another side. You need to have a comeback. Jesus perfectly exemplified what I'm preaching to you today, because they laid him in the cold clay tomb. And hell rejoiced. Counted him out. But on the third day, he had a comeback. They put him down, but he got up. And if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, you may get put down, but you can come back. And he blessed them. And he went away. But on the day of Pentecost, he came back. He came back. He came back. He came back. Come on, somebody. You may not be where you used to be, but you don't have to stay there. You don't have to be depressed because you know you're not praying like you used to pray. You can have a comeback. Maybe you're not shouting like you used to shout, but you can have a comeback. Maybe you're not working for God like you used to work for God, but you can have a comeback. Maybe your attendance is not as big as it used to be, but you can have a comeback. Woo! It's time for a comeback! I don't mean to totally bore you with the carnal aspects of the sports world, but I was just thinking, there is in the sports world what they call a front runner. A front runner is a team or a person who can be wonderful and do great as long as they've got the lead. But if anybody ever gets ahead of them, they phase out. If they ever eat a little dust, they choke and strangle and give up. God is trying to say something to us today about going ahead swallowing the dust and say, I may be eating dust now, devil, but it ain't going to be long until I'm going to have a comeback. I'm not going to stay down. I'm not going to stay out. I'm not going to stay where I know God doesn't want me to be. I'm going to have a comeback. My Lord. The devil wants you to believe it's gone forever. The devil wants you to think you'll never be what you once were. You had a lucky break. You had the wind behind you. You had a great day. Everything had to be perfect. Don't you know you're serving a God that gets glory out of our weakness? Don't you know you're serving a God that doesn't want any flesh to glory in His sight? So He can take your weakness. He can take your downness. He can take your disappointments. And all of a sudden He can thrust you into the forefront of Holy Ghost victory. And you'll know it was God that did it. In Judges chapter 16, there's a powerful story about the Hercules of the Hebrews, the man named Samson. And I noticed something in my scriptural reading, and I'll just share with you this thought, but repetitive phrases and repetitive words in Scripture arrest my attention. I don't think God had any space to waste in this blessed book. And everything that's there was pinpointedly, specifically, uniquely placed by the hand of the Spirit. Perverts is silly. My God would not have put it in the book that it's a shame for a man to have long hair if his was down on his shoulders. The Bible said she shaved off the seven locks of his head. And then the Scripture said, the adversary came on him. Now notice, the Philistines could do nothing to him as long as the seven locks were there. Before they could ever get to him, his seven locks had to be severed. There's some things the devil knows he hadn't got a chance with us as we are. Before he can do anything with his church, he's going to have to shave it. After his seven locks were gone, the first thing they did to him was put out his eyes. The first thing the devil wants to do to you is put out your vision. Get you spiritually blind. Where you can't see that they that be with us are more than they that be with him. Where you can't see you're in a day of great potential. The harvest field is white. You've got a greater opportunity for revival now than you've ever had. He wants to blind you to all the good things that God's trying to do in your life. The second thing they did was bind him. He wants to blind you. He wants to bind you.
He wants to get you to where you can't get your hands up. He wants to get you to where you can't move in the Holy Ghost. He wants to get you to where you can't exercise the liberty that the Bible promises us in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to be a spiritual zombie where you sit there. And He can lay His punches on you one by one because you can't move and navigate and negotiate in the power of the Spirit. He wants you blind and He wants you bound. This is what He does with you. After the seven locks are gone, after you're bound, after you're bound and you're blind, then the Bible said that Samson made bread for the adversaries of God. What they did was they put him at the meal like a beast of burden and had him grinding the meal to feed the armies of God. The adversaries of God. What I'm trying to show you is what the devil wants to do is bind you, and separate you, and then cause you to become something that encourages the devil. Because when he gets you in that shape, you know what Samson was doing? Going round and round. That's all he was doing. And they begin to laugh at him and mock him and make fun of him. But here's a verse of Scripture that here a while back I read and I had no idea it would ever be used just like this. But something about this verse, Brother Ames, would not let me rest. And it has... Oh, it's burning in me. Verse 22 says, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." Devil, you may have clipped it close. But while the Philistines weren't looking, something was happening in his head. Something was happening. And this is where it starts happening. Before you ever get up physically, you get up mentally. And when the Philistines weren't looking, what they had taken from him was coming back. It was coming back. Woo! Until finally one day, he said, "Oh Lord God, do it one more time. Do it one more time. I want to have a comeback." A message for the devil down here in section. Just want to know if y'all knew where you were. Down here in 3, you may be seated. The devil has shaved some of y'all. And walked off thinking, "Did a number on him." But while he wasn't looking, something was beginning to come back. Oh, while the devil wasn't looking, something was growing. Let me tell you about something. The church of history laid its head in the lap of compromise. And the world and carnality shaved off the seven locks. The lock of holiness. The lock of oneness. The lock of the new birth. The lock of miracle faith. The lock of worship. The lock of prayer. The lock of apostolic commitment. But in the early 1900s,
spirits. When the devil thought the church was down for the count, it started coming back. It started coming back. And we're living in the time of a comeback. And God said, I will restore. I will restore. We're in the time of a comeback. Let's everybody stand. Give Jesus a big hand clap right now. I have more notes, but I'm going to cut it short with this point. 2 points. Remain standing. Get ready to read, Brother Ames. Notice, and I don't feel like I really need to emphasize this in North Carolina, but it was the fourth generation that would be the source of the comeback. Much negativism in Pentecost today is relative to the third generation. You see, in the business world, it's the first generation that purchases the business, sacrifices for it, puts into it, lives for it. It's the second generation that enjoys the inheritance and the benefits and knows nothing of the struggle and the sacrifice. And it's the third generation that sells it and just lives leisurely. Because they have no commitment to the sacrifice it took to produce it. Spiritually in the church, our forefathers, to them it was an experience. To our fathers, it was an inheritance to be treasured, valued, to die for. In our generation, we're seeing compromise. Selling out. But that's not the end of the story. Because the fourth generation is going to come back. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking on the sea. It was in the fourth watch of the night that he returned to his troubled disciples. It was in the fourth watch of the night that he returned to his fearful flock. Woo! I know enough about the fourth watch of the night because I enjoy the outdoors. The fourth watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. He comes in the fourth watch. You know what that means? From 3 to 6 is the darkest part of the night. It's also the coldest part of the night. But when you're in your darkest night and in your coldest moment, he comes walking on the waters. That's when he comes walking on the water. When you're in your darkest trial, spiritually feeling your coldest, that's when you need to look upon the waters. Because that's when he comes walking. To calm your troubled seas. And to speak peace to your problem, the heart.
if you'd like to have a comeback. Physically, spiritually, numerically, in your consecration, in your devotion, in any area of your life, if you want to have a comeback, step to the front of this auditorium right now. Lift your voice and tell the devil, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. You need a healing in your body. You're in the fourth watch of the night. It's darker than it's ever been. And it's colder than I've ever felt it. But that's when He comes walking on the water. That's when He comes back. It's the fourth generation. The time of a coming back. You may feel far from God this afternoon, but you can come back. You may feel a long way off, but you can come back. He's a comeback God. Brother Hounds, would you, brethren, lay your hand on Sister Martha and pray for her? She has a great physical need in her body. Let's ask the God of glory to heal her this afternoon. Come on back, backslider. Come on back, pastor. Back to the original burden. Back to the original vision. Back to the original touch of God. Back to your original consecration. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that situation. For the glory of God, let her be healed today. For the glory of God, let a healing come to her body. For the praise of the name of the Lord. It's time for a comeback. It's time for a comeback. Come on home. Come back to where you were. Come back to where you used to be. Come on back to your original consecration. Come on back to your original dedication. Come on back to your original zeal. Come on back to that original commitment. I rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord. I rebuke disease in the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody, lift your hand right now. Come on, let's rebuke sickness. Let's rebuke the devil. Let's rebuke defeat. Let's claim victory. It's time for a comeback. It's time for a comeback. I want you, brethren, to step down there. Lay hands on one another. Let's pray one for another. Come on. Let's get what God's got for us this afternoon. I want a move of the Holy Ghost. I want a revival. I want a touch of God. I want to come back. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, backslider. You can come home today. You can come back today. You're not cast away forever. You're not separated forever.
you can come back. That same road will lead you back. Lord Jesus, you can heal her body right now. You're the great physician. With you, all things are possible. I rebuke that thing in the name of the Lord. Raise your hand and shout, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming home. I'm going back where I once was with God. Woo! In the name of the Lord. Yes! Receive ye the Holy Ghost right now. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Yes! Be healed. Be delivered. Be encouraged. Ishalabahaya. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Yes, Lord, I'm coming. Oh, coming, oh, coming, oh, never more to roll. It's time for a comeback. Open wide. Of love. I'm coming home. Yes! Yes! Hitolabo yashataba katarabahaya. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Yes. Receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. If you ain't got what you come looking for, it ain't nobody's fault but yours. Because there's enough Holy Ghost here today to deliver you to set you free. Hallelujah.
Out to a lost and dying world and brings them in is our hope. It's our survival. Let's pray for a Holy Ghost revival. Let's have a revival. Revival. From the pulpit to the pew, let's have a revival. That starts with me and you. That reaches out to a lost and dying world and brings them in. This is our joy. It's our survival. Let's pray for a Holy Ghost revival. Let's have a revival. Let's have a revival. From the pulpit to the pew, let's have a revival. That starts with me and you. That reaches out to a lost and dying world and brings them in. This is our joy. It's our survival. Let's pray for a Holy Ghost revival. Let's have a revival. Let's have a revival. Oh, from the pulpit to the pew. It will start with me and you. That reaches out to a lost and dying world and brings them in. This is our joy. It's our survival. Let's pray for a Holy Ghost revival. Let's have a revival. Revival. Ooh, from the pulpit to the pew. Have a revival. It starts with me and you. That reaches out to a lost and dying world and brings them in. This is our joy. It's our survival. Let's pray for a Holy Ghost revival. Let's have a revival. Reaches out to a lost and dying world and brings them in. This is our joy. It's our survival. Let's pray for a Holy Ghost revival. Let's have a revival.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. How many of you feel revival? How many of you feel revived? I believe it was the will of God today. Brother Wayne Hurley preached this service today. Praise God. I believe it was a divine will of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel like my hair is fixing to grow again. Praise God. How about you? Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise today. Praise God, praise God. I feel today that God has performed miracles in this service. He has brought forth healing to the soul, the mind, and the spirit. People have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this service today. And I tell you what, that's what church is all about. Praise God. I believe it's come to the point in time in life that we're going to have to mean business with God. We're going to have to come and serve the Lord with all of our heart. And I believe when we meet God on His terms, God will meet you on His terms. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you enjoyed yourself today? Praise God. Amen. Thank you, all you pastors today. Section 3, you're the greatest section there is. Brother Elms, thank you for being a great leader. You and Sister Elms. Thank the Lord for all my ministering brethren. Thank you, Brother Campbell, for leading our service today. Thank you for all the new churches that are starting in Section 3. Get a hold of the horns of the altar, Brother Chapman. Hang on. Got to bring it to right. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place today. Do you feel it? Why don't we all just reach out to God right now? Just close your eyes and just for a moment, just for a season, let Him touch our faith, touch our spirit, heal wounds. Touch minds. Touch hearts. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, God. It's not an easy thing sometimes to get up, Brother Elms. It's not an easy thing to eat dust sometimes. There's one thing that I do know in the Scripture. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? God's on your side, church. We're going to be winners. We are winners. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has been so good. And thank you, Brother Wayne Huntley, for being in the perfect will of God today. I appreciate such a man of God that can reach down low and put his arms around you and be your friend. God is so good. Thank you for coming today and carry this beautiful spirit with you. We have reserved some places. It was hard to get anywhere, but Mayflower Fish Camp up here, they serve chicken, tremendous abundance of seafood if you desire that. It's tremendous and pretty reasonable price. And I don't know how many they can serve, but I'm sure that they can probably take you all if you go and if you're willing to. Just hold on a little bit.
You have a hard time finding a parking place. Just park wherever you can on the grass. There's a building beside on this side. It's right on the other side of the Cadillac place going back towards Charlotte. It's on the left, the Mayflower Fish Camp. We've asked them to reserve some places for us. I don't know, maybe 50 or so. And I'm sure they'll probably take the rest of you if you want to go. Thank you again for coming. Brother Elms, would you dismiss us today? I know that you're a child of God tonight because you're here and you're worshiping the Lord and we're growing together in His grace. I don't have to become, you know, this or that or the other. I believe that superstition belongs to the crystal ball women. That's got their little shack down beside the road and their big sign out and it reads the palms and things that are really are not of God. Amen. We've got to realize today that God wants us to be pure and holy. Amen. And when we can live the best that we know how to live for God today is that I believe that a lot of things will go a whole lot better in our lives. The church will grow better. People will be friendlier one to another. And we can find the deep peace that God really wants us to have. And some people say, well, when you speak to them of salvation, you said, oh, I live by the golden rule. How many of you folks live by the golden rule?